can lock me up in a prison, and you can throw away the key. Oh, and take away the vision from these eyes, and now can see, and deprive me of the very food I eat, and even bind my hands and my feet, just as long. Voluntarily leave such a mighty throne. Oh, to don the robes of an earthly man. Oh, and feel the pain, frenzy suffered the pain of flesh and bone.
Six verses here in Numbers 21. Let me find my place while you're finding yours. Numbers 20. It'll be on the screen there for you in just a second. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's look at verse number four. And they journeyed from Mount Or by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. Our soul loatheth this light bread." The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I already know where we're headed, and I'm about to get excited. Now, Lord, we've already enjoyed the singing, and Lord, the congregation singing, the special singing, and we've worshiped you with our giving. And Lord, right now, God, I pray the next few minutes you'd still our hearts, give us something that we need, God, that, Lord, we can't get on our own. We got to have you. We need you right now in this time. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Here is a story maybe you've heard preached before, maybe you haven't, here in Numbers 21. But here, this is after the Red Sea, the parting of the Red Sea, and the Israelites are led by Moses, and they go across on dry ground and all of that. And now they're wandering around in the wilderness. In chapter 20, they just had a big fight with the Canaanites. And now they're trying to go and get through this wilderness. And now they have to go the long way around because there's the Edomites that own this piece of property and won't let them go straight through. So now they got to go the long way around, and it's treacherous. Nobody goes that way, and there's not a path that way. And so now they're disgruntled. Now they're a little discouraged. Now they're a little upset. And when you get upset and you get disgruntled and you can't go the way you want to, and God sends you on a detour, then we get upset at God. And we can't reach God to give him a good knuckle sandwich, so we take it out on God's man that he sent to lead the people. And so the Bible says that they spoke against God and Moses. "Moses, you led us. We were in Egypt. We had steak every night. And you led us out of here. We don't have any bread. We don't have any water." I think, go to about verse 5, is it? Let me show you something that they just lied about right here in the verse. "The people spake against God and Moses. Why have you brought us out of the land of Egypt? We're going to die out here in the wilderness. There's no bread. We don't have any water." But they just said they didn't have any bread, right? And now they said, "Our soul, we don't like this light bread." Well, you just said you didn't have none. No, what you really mean is you don't like what God is sending you from heaven. This light bread, this diet bread, I wouldn't like it either. But if you would have read, and if we take time to read the previous chapter, they had manna from heaven every day, fresh manna from heaven. And if you'd have read the previous chapter, this is where Moses took the rod and he hit the rock in the side and water flooded out the whole place. It wasn't that they didn't have any water. It wasn't that they didn't have any bread. They just needed somebody to complain to. Y'all ever been there? You can't really get at God, so you take it out on God's people. Let me get over here where maybe we got some Bible readers over here. When we can't have our way and we have to detour and we speak against God's people, we really can't take it out on God because we can't reach him. So we take it out and it'll come out as disgruntled. It'll come out as is discouraged and disillusioned, and we don't know which way to go. And God, you've sent us out here in the wilderness. We don't want to be here. We'd rather be back in Egypt serving Pharaoh. At least we had good food at night. But how many of you know this? How many of you know this right here? If God's doing the cooking, don't get mad at the cook. If he's sending you bread, don't get mad at the guy that's feeding you from heaven. Don't get mad at the guy that's sending water out of the rock. Don't get mad at the one that just led you out of Egypt. Don't get mad at the one that just parted the Red Sea for you. Don't get mad at the one that saved your soul. Don't get mad at the one that sent his only begotten son to the cross to die for you. Don't get mad at him. Because this is what I have found out. Sin has consequences. I remember, Sammy, you probably remember this. You about to say, well, you might be a little, lot older than me. I don't know. Anyway, when I was growing up and we were playing out and about and we'd run up on a snake, whether it was poisonous or whether it wasn't, we didn't get close enough to find out, but we got us a stick long enough and we would just tap it just to see him strike. And then we'd just get a little closer and we just wanted to just play enough to just, we'd like to see him strike. But when you play around with snakes long enough, you're going to mess up and it will bite you. You say, why would anybody want to play with a snake? There's a house full of people here. No, I tell you what, I'm talking about people in other churches. I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about other people in other churches that like to play around with sin and they just like to poke at it and have fun at it. But one of these days it's going to bite you. Amen. Sin has consequences. And when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The wages of sin is death. And God says, I tell you what, in this next verse right here, this is what he says in verse number 6. This is what he says, verse number 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. And they bit the people. And much people of Israel died. What a sad way. I mean, these fiery serpents now. Now, you say, well, did just God just snap his fingers and all of a sudden all these snakes come around? No, no, no. I think, this is what I think. I don't think just God just snapped his fingers and snakes fell out of heaven all over the people. He could have done that, but I think the snakes were there all along and God was protecting them from the snakes. Then when you start complaining and murmuring against God, against Moses, God says, all right, y'all snakes that I created, you know, God is the one that spoke to the animals and he got all on the ark. He just took his arms away and said, snakes, all right, y'all have at it. Some like, seem like they want to get bit. And now these people, now they are bit. Now it says fiery serpent. Now I've never been snake bit. I don't like snakes. You say, poisonous or not, I don't get close enough to find out. It's called a 12 gauge. That's what it's called. That's what it's called. You don't get close enough to find out. You take a 12 gauge, say, that's against the law. I ain't never seen anybody arrested for killing a snake. Never. You say, it's against the law. Kill them. You say, well, they eat these other ones, and these are good snakes, and they eat these other ones. They better do it out in the wilderness somewhere. Hallelujah. But it says fiery. So that means fiery serpents, when they bit them, it was like fire shot up through their bloodstream, and it burnt. And now they're begging Moses. They go to Moses and say, oh, Moses, we have sinned. That's a good place to start.
God, I have sinned. Lord, we have sinned against you. We'll get to the, give me another verse. Verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses. Now hang on. Get this verse right here. Please don't go to sleep right here. Therefore the people. These are the same people that spoke against Moses. Came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Would you pray for us? Moses, we were just talking about you yesterday and running you down. But since we've been snake bit, would you pray for us? Now, Moses prayed for him. Don't ask me to. I ain't praying for you. I ain't as spiritual as Moses. Talk about me yesterday and then call and say, would you pray for me? Uh-uh. What'd you say yesterday? Pray for yourself. Y'all pray for me. I'll get an altar in a minute. Come back. Against thee, pray unto the Lord that he would take away the serpents from us. And guess what Moses did? He prayed for them. Now, I was doing a lot of tongue-in-cheek just then, but hey, that right there is a real leader. He must have really loved them people. I see intercession. I see Moses interceding between God and the fiery serpents, and Moses steps between God and the fiery serpents and brings the people and say, God, would you please forgive them? I think the Lord on the cross said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. Moses, forgive. God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's what he said. What's the next verse? Verse 8, and the Lord said unto Moses, I see the Lord intervening. Watch this. It's going to get good here in a minute. Have you been snake bit? Hang on. Lord told Moses. Now, listen, if I was doing this, I would have done it a whole lot better. If you want to get rid of a snake, then you need to tell Moses to make an eagle, because he'll eat a snake. Maybe you need to tell Moses to make a hawk. He will eat a snake. But Lord told Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. God, we're trying to get rid of them. And you want us to make another. Proper English, another one. God, we just asked Moses to pray for us to get rid of these snakes. And now you want Moses to make one. Make a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he has looked upon it, shall live. This is what I have found. For Moses to make a brazen serpent, make it out of brass, he had to get brass from somewhere out of the congregation, and then he had to melt it down, and then that brass had to be beaten into shape. The brass had to be beaten into shape. I'm looking for my Pentecostal side that don't have one. Moses to make a serpent out of a brass, he had to melt that down and beat it into shape. I think the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace is upon him. By his stripes we are healed. Moses, why did you make a serpent? trying to get rid of serpents and you're making one. Well, it takes a serpent. You have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, this thing all started with a serpent. This thing started when somebody rebelled against God and against His word, and a snake showed up. When somebody rebelled and went against God's word, that's when snakes show up. And God says, this is where it started. If you want to get rid of the snake, you're going to have to make a snake. And you're going to have to beat that snake, form it, and put it on a pole. And anybody that looks upon this pole with this brazen snake on it, when they look, they shall live. Say, preacher, why does we need a snake? Why do we need a snake? Because the cure for a snake bite, when you get snake bit, and they put antivenom, y'all know what antivenom is? It's made from the venom. The antivenom is made from the venom. And so, matter of fact, some of you nurses and doctors tell me when they give you a flu shot, they say that what they're doing, they're injecting you with the flu so your body will produce a rejection to that and fight it off. And so the cure is based upon the cause. And so if you want to get help from being snake bit, then you got to have the antivenom. And Moses lifted up that serpent. Brass in the Bible speaks of judgment. That's why there was a brazen altar in the tabernacle. Something had to die. That's why there was a brazen laver in the tabernacle. Brass, judgment, the judgment of God. This antivenom had to come from. So that's why he couldn't make an eagle, a hawk, to get rid of these snakes. But God sent a serpent and told Moses to make a serpent. And he didn't remove all the other snakes, but he gave them the antidote. If they got bit, they could look and live. The cure is made from the cause. You medical people that are in the room, you ever notice this? Your symbol, medical symbol, a snake on a pole. That means help is on the way. That means help is on the way. A serpent on the pole. That means when that serpent is lifted up and put on that pole, that means the cure, the help that you need is on the way. And so when Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, it was pointing to someone else being lifted up on the cross. You say, well, when the Lord hung on the cross, he wasn't a serpent. But hang on. I think Galatians says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. I think the Bible says, let me see if I can find it. I think the Bible says something like this right here. John 12:32, If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I think the Bible says in Isaiah 45, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I see those people. They've been stake bit. And they got fire running up their leg. And somebody says, all you got to do is just look. Man, I've tried religion before. Religion just don't work for me. All you got to just look. I've been to church before. I've been to confessional. I went and took the Lord's Supper. It just didn't work for me. I joined the church. I shook the preacher's hand. But I'm still snake bit. Just look. Every time I go to that church, they just want money. Every time I go, that's all they want is money. Just look. And about that time, some guy looks up and the bite stops burning. And he's healed. And now he starts running through the whole congregation. Just look. All you got to do is look. Get your babies, look. Get your grandkids, make them look. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Tell your people to look. Not look to me, not look to the church, not look to the baptismal, not look to the Lord's Supper. Look to Jesus. He is the cure. You say, preacher, why? Why on the cross? Why on the cross? Did God look at his own son and turn his back on his own son, and that the sun refused to shine? Because listen to me real good. At that moment, when Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? At that very moment, God no longer saw his son. He saw the serpent. Jesus Christ became that serpent for you. And that's why it says he was wounded. And God lashed out at his own son, because he was lashing out at that serpent. He didn't see his son, but he was lashing out the wrath of Almighty God on a serpent that he hated. So you wouldn't have to go to where that serpent lives. Has Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness? You say, preacher, where is that at? We're reading in Numbers. That's Old Testament. Well, okay, I'm glad you asked. Y'all know John 3:16, don't you? You ever read the two verses before it? And as Moses lifted up, this is New Testament, by the way. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever. You just write up above that whosoever. You can write your name right there. That whosoever believeth in him should not be snake bitten, but have eternal life. That's the preceding words to, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish from that snake bite, but have everlasting life. Sammy's coming to help me. This cure that he had, God had a remedy, and it was in close proximity. God had a remedy, and it didn't cost anybody anything. God had a remedy, and it was sufficient for the whole camp. God had a remedy, and it was immediate healing for all that would look and live. Everyone. I'm going to tell you this, and I'm closing today. Can you imagine Jesus Christ on that cross becoming that serpent? It started with a serpent. And so Jesus said, I'm going to end this thing. And if you'll just look, you can live. Vietnam. I don't know if there's anybody in here served in Vietnam, but let me tell you, that's what I read a story about in Vietnam. There was a village over there in Vietnam where some of these guys were stationed. And it was during the rainy, floody season. And when it rained, it flooded that river and it would flood that whole village. And when the water would recede, there were snakes, water moccasins, rattlesnakes, everything that would just settle on that village because of the flood. When that water would go back down, them snakes stayed up there. There was snakes everywhere. And it started biting people, biting little kids and biting adults. And people were dying from it. And there was a man in Vietnam that had a little medical history. He said, I don't want to see this. Let's try something. And so they caught some of them rattlesnakes and moccasins. And they would withdraw that venom. And it's what they did. They'd go over to a healthy cow or a goat. And they would inject that venom into that cow or goat. And man, that cow and goat, son, they would just almost within a day would be at the point of death. And it wouldn't be too long. That cow or goat would start reviving. And it wouldn't be about a week and that cow or goat would be back to its normal self. And what they would do, they would withdraw that blood from that cow that had overcome the venom and start injecting it into people. And that's what they started anti-venom with. They have more updated measures to do that now. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with Sunday morning and the cross and Jesus? Well, I'll tell you. You ever heard this phrase in the Bible? The sting of death. Fiery service, sting of death. Jesus is on the cross. The sting of death stung the Lord Jesus Christ. And it put him in his grave. It put him in his grave for 3 days and 3 nights. But early on Sunday morning, as I'm enjoying my own preaching, he overcome the venom. He overcome the venom. And he arose from the dead. And so now the antivenom is in him. So if you get injected in something that's already overcome the venom, you visitors, we're Baptists, hallelujah. I'm just a little excited right now. I remember as a 10-year-old boy, infected. The only help is to look to somebody that's overcome the venom and they inject that. It run out the infection. I've been saved ever since. I'm talking about God threw a chunk load of salvation over the portals of heaven. It hit me in the gable end of my soul, turned over a tub of honey, and the bees have been swarming ever since. Let me tell you, you're going in the wilderness? Look, just look. You're having a bad time? Just look. Got a bad doctor's report? Just look. Somebody didn't speak to you. Just look. You mad at the preacher? Just look. You mad at God? Just look. You worried about your kids? Just look. Get them in church. Yes, they're too little. Yes, get them in. Just keep them in front of it. And one of these days, they'll look. Look and live, my brother live. What's that old song we used to sing? Look and live, my brother live. Look to Jesus now and live. I'm glad I got some antivenom. Have you been snake bit? Well, let's all stand. Let's find a place at an altar. And let's get some help. Who else is coming? Just look. Just look. He just wants you to look. Get your eyes off of everything else and just...